So this is the podcast, web exclusive, because we are, once again, bumped. But this is bonus time, and it's a very special bonus time because nigh on 12 years ago, Cody, before you were even here,
yeah,
one Sunday morning I walked in to do an overnight shift, my very first shift at WGN. It was 2 in the morning. I was co-hosting with Laura Hirsch. In the old studios, all I had to do was turn my head to the right, and I saw, now I have to turn to the left. I'm all askew. But in the old place, all I had to do was turn my head to the right, and there was the newsman, the voice of authority, the person who was telling Chicago and the contiguous United States and Canada everything that was happening in the overnight hours. That first night, that man was Christopher Michael.
Possibly Mexico, too.
Could be Mexico. Wolfman Jack took the night off. We pirated right in.
Sure.
Were we on the internet back then? I don't think we were streaming then.
I don't think so.
No, we were just broadcasting live. So Christopher Michael was the newsman when I was just doing Saturday night into Sunday morning. Then I got the big promotion, Cody. This might have been when you popped in, when I was doing Friday night overnight into Saturday morning and Saturday, and then Roger Badish was the newsman with us then, and he is still our newsman on Sunday afternoons. But both of them are here today. This is unbelievable, unprecedented. We're bringing news people back. It's a very exciting. First of all, thank you guys for coming in. I'm giddy. This is very exciting because we still get, and Cody will back me up on this, we still get a lot of people who say, man, we missed the overnight show. It was so much fun when you guys did the arcade, or just the chemistry between Roger, Brian, and Cody, and Christopher, Brian, and Cody, or when Christy was here, too. So it's good to have you guys back, because you were here at the beginning. Yeah. And I've outlasted all of you.
Hey, I'm still here, too.
I'm doing a 45-minute show after this, so I've outlasted everybody.
And actually, Christopher and my relationship goes way back to 1979.
Wow.
Actually, it was 81-ish, early 81-ish.
Could have been, yeah.
Well, I started Q101 in 79.
I like that you're contradicting yourself.
No one's
calling you a liar. You're calling yourself a liar.
All right,
this
fine.
Is wrong.
So when I left Q101, when they cut back to just one person, Dave McBride was doing morning news.
Okay.
And they let about 5 or 6 people from the news department leave, and suddenly they had no one to record public affairs programs, the interview shows that would run on Sunday mornings. So they got a hold of Christopher. How did that work out, Christopher?
Well, you know, it's funny. I was looking for better work because I was doing shadow traffic at the time, and I was really sick and tired of doing traffic. And so I called Frank Beeman, who
right.
was the news director, because I had picked up Gary Deeb's column. And in Gary Deeb's column, it mentioned all these people were fired. Well, I tried to pretend like I didn't know that. And so I called him and asked if they had any openings. And he says, oh, gosh, I don't know if you saw the paper today, but I had to let 5 people go. It was really terrible. But give me your phone number just in case. And I gave him my phone number. It was about 4 hours later that he called me. And he said, you know, I forgot. There was a guy who did stuff on the weekend for me. And
a guy.
I have to have him do it. And and he said, and I don't know how true this is, but he said, and I can't really call him back at this point.
Well, right. I had a paper from NBC saying, you're fired.
So I said, okay. So I showed up and had to do newscasts for Art Roberts.
Right.
And a couple of other people who were recorded.
Oh, really?
But they just didn't have anybody to do the news because they couldn't really record that. So I was doing news on Saturday and Sunday.
Wow. And then fast forward to, what is it, about 13 years now I've been here, 13 and a half. Veronica Carter had left the station, and they needed someone to fill in on Friday nights. And I come in on a Saturday night to train, and there's Christopher Michael to train me.
Everybody's got to be someplace.
That's true.
Yeah. And then so I went to Friday nights, and then you stayed on Saturday nights, and we did that for, goodness, how long were you on?
I don't know. It was a long time.
Yeah,
it was a long time. And it was, I remember that first night. I don't know how it was unusual. And the partnership didn't last long because we started in May. It was Mother's Day. Mother's Day weekend was the first time that they had me on here.
Okay.
And then by February, Laura was gone. and it was just me.
And I was surprised at that because I thought you guys really did well together.
Yeah, that was her choice. She decided she had little kids, and the hours were not conducive to having little kids, and I did too, but I didn't care. it was one of those. Hey, listen, I don't know. It was time to go. But do you have any recollection of that first night?
I remember that first night when you walked up to me when you first came in, and we shook hands, and I looked at this mountain of a man.
Yeah, I was giant back then.
And, yeah, your height stayed the same. I know.
Right.
That.
Yes. So the rest of me is not so much.
I thought, well, who's this guy?
Yeah.
Good luck. I hope it works. And it did. And what I really thought was the best part is as time went on, we adapted to each other in a way that a whole lot of people in this business that I've worked with never do.
Yeah.
And it started what I consider to be one of the highlights of my career is the time that we worked together because it was so much fun.
It was fun. That was, and I think that's the main takeaway that people remember from those overnight shows. We had fun because think about it, and Cody, you were there for all that. There were times we were doing six-hour shows with almost no commercials. The only break we had was when you would do the news. That was when I could shut up for a couple minutes. But yeah, we created a lot of, we did a lot of great stuff. We made a lot of mistakes, but overall it was fun.
And when you made mistakes, I mean, you realized that you'd done something that wasn't quite right, and you'd make something out of it.
Yeah.
You know, that's the important thing. We had another guy when they moved you to the sports show.
Yes.
Another fellow who was a politician at one point, whose name I will not mention because I could get sued. Who knows?
Oh, right. Yeah.
But that first night that he was put on the air, he had never been on the air before.
Right.
No one had coached him on anything. And he was supposed to talk for, at that time, I think it was 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so painful.
Mm. Well, that's, people don't understand, people who listen, if you make it sound easy, which most of the people here do, the people have been doing this a long time, you make it sound easy, or you try to make it sound easy. Mm-hmm. So anybody thinks, well, I can sit for 6 hours and talk.
No.
You can.
Yeah.
And how many times have you guys both seen hosts come in, whether they were here a couple times or just one time, and they had a whole list of stuff, and they'd be through it in a half hour?
Right.
Because the phones didn't ring, which they don't do in the overnight a lot. So,
and that was another thing. It, there were no calls, very few calls. You had the regulars would call, a couple of them, and then try to find a guest to put on at 2-3 o'clock in the morning on the weekend, even on the West Coast. And it's like, you're it. The host is the person on the air.
Well, and that's why I was so excited to be working with you two and with Cody and Christy as well, because we were able to then create an ensemble. It was, I'm sitting at the center surrounded by all these people, and we were all going in the same direction. We all, like you said, Christopher, we adapted, we figured out, all right, this is the direction the show goes. And without even sitting down and formally saying, okay, this is your role, this is your role. This,
yeah, we never met ahead of time.
Yeah.
Never planned anything. There were no meetings. Once in a while, I would pop into the conference room.
Right, which is my old office.
Your old office. And you'd had these stacks of papers, and you were just really into planning out your show. We're going to talk about this. And I stood there, and I go, okay, fine. It's whatever you wanted to do, I'm along for the ride.
Well, and that was a thing, and we always prepare because—
To be clear, Brian and I did talk quite a bit before the show.
Yes, Cody and I would talk before the show.
I did do something.
No, Cody,
I was actually working.
No, but we didn't have like show meetings where Christopher and Roger would be in there and we'd say, all right, now we're going to do this. Like when we started having you keep score for the arcade, it just happened.
Yeah.
And you developed it into your own thing, and you're, with the intros of the guests and stuff. That wasn't, we didn't tell you, hey, do this. We just said, hey, will you keep score? Yeah, I'll keep score. Okay, perfect. And then I trusted that you would do it, and you did it. You did great. And, and I trust that Cody's going to do what he's going to do. And, we all kind of, you, Roger, not so much.
Yeah,
but everybody else.
I was just going to say, because
everybody else, I'm confident.
You, when you were saying, we could follow a plan You said that, about going with the show forward. We had these things that we did and everything, and I'm thinking, yeah, that's until I like derailed you with a comment or two on Friday nights.
Yeah, but that, and that's
but
most
that
of
played
the,
to right. your strength.
And most of the time, we've talked about this a million times. The show is all laid out on my legal pad. Right. I have every piece of legal paper from the very first show. I have them all. It's laid out. Whether we get to any or all of that. Okay,
it
but it's
how
there.
The night goes.
Well, this doesn't happen as much on our show anymore for whatever reason. But on the overnights, there were specific references you would make, or Christopher mm-hmm. would make, or Roger would make, and the listeners would jump on it, and we would get flood of calls because you mentioned some cartoon from the 70s, right. just in a totally offhand comment. And I don't know what it was about the overnight audience that gravitated towards these particular, you know, centers of reference or whatever it was, but
there's a different kind of people
exactly
who listen overnight, and they can be your best friend, or they can be the biggest pain that you ever had.
That is true. There is, and once we introduced, well, when Twitter first came, we had a few people who they were. That was, and then when we introduced the text screen, that was like opening the door to hell.
The text screen.
The text screen was, it's the blessing and a curse.
Yeah.
Because everybody now has a voice, and everybody has a conduit right to us.
Oh,
it's like,
an anonymous conduit.
Yes, anonymous. Well, we have their phone number. They don't know that. They're not smart enough to realize that. Some of them.
That's true.
Some of them are.
So what, you call them in the daytime to wake them up?
That would be a good idea. I did work with somebody here who, when he would get really nasty texts, he would call the people and say, oh, I just want you to know somebody must have stolen your phone because they're texting these horrible things, and you might want to check that out.
Oh, my God. And then hang up?
And then they just hang up.
So, that's amazing.
It was sports. One of my sports colleagues.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
You know, one of the times that we had the most fun I think I've ever had in like 2 minutes worth of radio was when we were in our first place. So
downstairs,
and there had been some instance where a guy with a car hit a deer.
Oh, okay.
And you started talking about that, and then you asked me something, and I said, "Well, you said, did he bring a dressing kit?"
Okay.
And I said, "Well, I have a dressing kit in the car. It's a little black number." And then you got into the old guy cartoon where you're, "Oh, that's a pretty good looking deer there. What you got there? That's quite a good deer." And I said something, and I forget the exact words you said, but you said something. Oh, you said you weren't going to harm it. You were just going to do a little jerky. And I looked up at that camera because I was on a different floor, and I went, and he started to laugh, and I started to laugh. Yeah. And I don't think we stopped for at least a minute and a half. We couldn't get any words out. And we got a phone call from a lady who said, "What are you guys, 12?
Yes, exactly. It's the middle of the night. We're having fun. I remember the cheese truck accident.
Yes.
That was the big. I can't remember if it was a Friday or Saturday, but the
I
cheese truck.
I think it was a Friday night.
When you guys were doing doing the coverage of the cheese truck accident.
Right. It was. There are so many times where you got me going. I allowed myself to get going because I'm an easy target. You know that. But there were things that you would say, and I would just lose it. I'm pounding on the news desk.
I think you were sleep deprived. I don't think it was really anything funny that I said.
That might have had something to do with it on a Friday night after working for 5 days. You know how much teaching takes out of you.
One thing I got to say about Christopher, Cody, you'll back me up on this. Never fell asleep during the program.
Not once.
Never.
Not a once.
Can we say that about all our news people?
Can we say that about me? I think I stayed awake.
You stayed awake. I've mostly.
Can we say that it's about you?
Mostly I've stayed awake. Roger?
Once in a blue moon. Nah.
So anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry to derail.
But it was just, and I still do that now with you. It's still fun. You still get me going after all these years that we've been. No, I'm not trying to, you know, load praise on you because
you don't deserve it. Yeah, I don't deserve it, and I'm very uncomfortable with it.
I understand that. You're blushing. But that's what I think makes the program so much fun and so special is that we can laugh. Right. That, you know, I can be serious when I have to be during the newscast with the with whatever stories mm-hmm. require it. I am the news anchor, and I have to present that to the listeners.
Right.
But to be able to be a part of your show, and as you mentioned before, the group of us being able to present the fun and the seriousness when needed to the listening audience, that's what I think pulls people in to want to listen to us, as opposed to some syndicated show somewhere on another Chicago radio station or some music or something like that. And I'm proud to be a part of it, and you know, knock on Formica, you know, that I've been able to hang here all these years.
Well, that's, and I'm always very grateful that, well, one, Christopher, that you were there the first night, because I know, you know, I'd like to think back to the first night that I was a genius. That came the second week.
Oh, okay.
But you know, you were always very supportive, and you played along, and you know, I think you saw what Laura and I were trying to do, and then what I was trying to do, and you either you liked it and you were genuinely played along, or you were like, well, I'm here, I might as well just play along. You know, it's a long night if I'm not.
Well, you know, I think I was really waiting for someone in there. I mean, I could do a little bit of that with Nick.
Right.
But Nick had places he wanted to really go specifically. And so you also know when to keep your mouth shut.
Right.
And so you stay out of it a little bit. With you, it was kind of pretty much open. If you think of something, tell me.
Right.
And that is really something that was easy to fall into.
Yeah.
And
well, you did it very well.
Oh,
and
well,
it was,
thank you.
It was a lot of fun. And that was the time, because we used to follow Nick immediately.
Right.
At first we followed Radio Mystery Theater.
Yes.
So Nick would be on.
Oh, that's
Nick
right.
would be on, and he had his big audience. You
right.
know, everybody listened to Nick on Saturday nights and Sunday nights, and so he had a great built-in audience. And I don't want to say that Radio Mystery Theater drove most of that audience away, but a
it was
lot of the
most
the audience
hour,
away,
right?
It only you know how long it takes to change channels, Roger? That long. That's it.
Go.
I'm done. I already changed channels. That's it. It's not like they have to go, well, I got to reset the crystals,
right.
And then I had to no.
Oh, and then the other night would be the best of, or was that?
That was afterwards.
That was after. I think we Laura and I replaced.
You replaced the best of.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So you were on for the one night.
Right.
And then
from 2 to 5.
Right. And then the second night was the best of.
Yeah.
Those were some stories
from that. I was on the Saturday night, and this was back. You remember Bob Schomper? He was our PD.
Yeah.
So I'm doing the Saturday nights, and they were going to make the change and open up the Friday night. I forget what was on Friday nights. From 2 to 5.
I think it was the best of, because that Maybe was my shift.
Okay.
Friday night to Saturday.
Night to Saturday.
Yeah.
So I was already entrenched on Saturday into Sunday. We'd been doing it for a while. I'd been doing it by myself for a while. And Schomper calls me in and he goes, listen, we're gonna have you do Fridays too. But don't tell anybody. It's not a promotion. you're just going to do it. And I was like, oh, okay. So it was like, hey, I'm on two nights. Don't tell anybody. I was like the girl that you date after the bar's closed, but you didn't tell any of your friends that you were dating her. That was like me on Friday at first. It was like, okay, you can have it, but we don't really want to make a big deal out of it. Because, I don't know. But yeah, that's how I ended up on Friday.
Yeah, right. Right. And I don't know what the decision was behind the getting rid of the best of. I'm glad they did.
Yeah.
I think it might have been the night where, because that was all pre-recorded.
Yes.
And I think it was the night
where... Wait, they didn't have people come in and do their best bits live again?
They did.
They didn't have Spike come in at 3:30 and drop
well,
a...
well, not that you know of, but who knows? I mean, he might have.
Sure.
Bill and Wendy could have come in, or
they
Bill.
Weren't, they weren't here then.
Bill was.
Bill, no, he
Bill
wasn't.
Was.
No.
Yes.
Not at that point. Bill didn't come till after Matheny was here. Bill was not here. Bill started doing fill-ins after Matheny was here.
Well, I still remember his voice being on the recordings.
Well, that's because he did overnights for a while.
Then that's what I'm saying.
Not at that point, though.
Well, he's always
put your head down, Roger.
The timelines are all a little hazy.
You know, this used to be such a nice group.
Yeah. See, this is what happened when okay, so what's your point?
So the point was...
Jesus. See, Christopher, nothing has changed.
And if you
all
don't,
these years, nothing
if you
has
don't
changed.
Listen to Sundays, you won't know that we disagree All the time.
Not all the time. Why are you being so mean to Roger?
I know.
Why are you so mean to he's so mean to everybody.
So the problem was one night, because it was recorded, I had taken that Saturday night off, but nobody told the person who was recording it.
Oh.
Who would then throw it to news.
To Roger Badish.
And now here's the news with Roger. It's kind of like when I first started and Milt was on Friday nights.
Yeah.
And so Judy would work the first hour of his shift, and I'd work the second hour of the shift. And he would always, on my first and second newscast, it never failed. And now with the news, here's Judy Pilak.
Well, you look a lot like Judy.
Well, I know. My hair is very soft and
luxurious.
And silky.
It
Thank
is.
You.
Yeah, it really
let
is.
Let me throw it back. How?
Would you like my glasses?
Yeah, I think so. So that's what happened that night. And I think there was some hubbub about it afterwards. And I think shortly thereafter, that's when you came over to Friday night, Saturday mornings.
It was fun. Yeah. What's Christopher, of all your time here at GN, what's the strangest thing you remember happening? Other than being saddled with us.
Oh, other than that.
Other than that, yeah.
Well, let's see. I think one of the most unusual things that happened to me is when they went to those reruns that they were running at night when they moved you out of the show. It was, first off, it was no fun. But second, the people who were putting together the best of segments never paid attention to how long they were.
Oh, that's right.
And the night that Whitney Houston died, I had one newscast that was only 38 seconds long.
Okay.
So first thing I did was got onto the traffic guy and said, no traffic this time. It's okay. So I came in. I had to give a quick WGN news time, whatever it was. And then I said, Whitney Houston died tonight. We'll have more information on this coming up later. In the forecast, this.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Done.
Yeah.
See, and that's this is why I don't understand corporate radio, because they don't understand things do happen in the overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have you need live people. You need somebody to I mean, remember when Fukushima happened, we were on the air.
That's right.
There have been other things when the tornado tore through the state fair in Indianapolis, we were on the air. Things happen in the overnight. So you guys in the newsroom need to be people there who can cover it, and there needs to be time for you to, we're not going back to the network or the tape. We're going to actually cover this news story.
And the other thing is that it's not just having us in the newsroom to be able to go live. It's at that hour in the newsroom, we're the only ones.
Right. So trying
it's
to
not
get,
like during the day where you can have someone running down the story while you're giving as many details as possible.
Yeah, you have to be reporter.
Exactly.
Announcer. You have to do it all.
Yeah.
I just found a CD that I had in my office for several years now, of when I was on with Steve and Johnny one night, and there was a big hotel, or not hotel, but big residential building at Oak Street and practically Lakeshore Drive.
Right.
And it was burning like crazy. People were on the roof of the building trying to get out.
I remember this.
You won an award for this.
I did. And I listened.
Not for starting the fire.
No.
To clarify.
No. I didn't consider that
ever.
Before because I hated that building. Yeah. But,
and he goes, when he heard the news, it was like, well, boy, I'm glad I don't have to worry about that anymore.
That's right. And we had Don, what was Don's last
Norton.
Name?
Don Norton.
Don Norton, who was living in Chicago just across the street from that building.
Okay.
And so he went down and covered it from there.
Nice.
Steve and Johnny said a few things about it, and I was there top and bottom of the hour with
all the
kind of stories on it. And I got a chance to listen back to it because they edited it down to about 20 minutes, and that's what won the award.
Right.
And I thought, damn, I was good.
It's nice when you have that realization every once in a while. I go, I'm supposed to be doing this. You know,
it really was great, and that was probably another weird thing that happened because I wasn't really ready to do something like that because you never get ready.
No.
For
you,
a story like that.
Yeah, you
comes,
can't.
You just got to do it.
Right, you know, and that's when it's. it's important to have people who are well-trained and experienced, and, you know, maybe they cost a couple bucks more.
Maybe.
Not according to the last place I was.
No. And that brings to mind the night that Ernie Banks passed away.
Yeah. Mm.
And I was working, and to be in that newsroom alone and not have the contacts to be able to call
right.
to verify, because before we got it on the air, I was starting to hear rumors. Social yeah. media was in play
sure.
at that time.
Yeah.
And you were starting to see little, hey, I heard, hey, somebody said, hey, somebody's... And you can't go with it as a news report.
No. You can go with it as a hot take on a sports show.
But but you can't do it as a news report because it's not verified
right.
yet.
That's
by
right.
the family or by the doctors, the hospital, whatever. And I went... I think I went 45 minutes knowing that something was up before I was able to make a phone call and hear from people who knew.
How many sources do you guys try to get for a story like that?
If you're sitting in the newsroom. Minimum two authoritarian sources, not like somebody said. You got to have the hospital. You got to have the police. You got to have the coroner. You got to have a family member.
So one is not enough
no.
even with those?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Well, ideally, right? I mean, because I was trying to think how long it's been since we worked together, Christopher. I don't...
You know,
72 years.
And he's only 45.
Probably 6 or 7 years, right?
Yeah, probably.
Or somewhere in that ballpark. And I feel like the news landscape has changed a ridiculous amount since then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And what you're saying is the way things should be, but I feel like a lot of news is no longer being reported.
Well, it's social media.
Even when you were... Now, for those who don't know, Christopher went from here, and he was at WLS... Was it the same kind of thing? Because you were doing evening nights. Was it just you in the newsroom over there?
Just me in the newsroom, and down the hall and around the corner was a guy running the board for the syndicated shows.
Okay, so you would do that same kind of thing. If something comes in, you're still trying to get a couple sources, right? You can't just go by social media.
Find somebody. I don't believe any story that comes on social media.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't really exist to me.
Right.
Because that's not where your news is going to come from. I had a guy call me at WGN when we were carrying the Cubs.
Okay.
And I forget what he told me. He gave me his name, supposedly, and told me that this was preseason, I believe. The Cubs just made a blockbuster trade. And he told me these two really good players that were going to be leaving for... some other city, and that we were going to get nothing back in return and all this other stuff. And he was so convincing that I called, I think it was Dave Ennett at the time at home, and I said, okay, Dave, I'm sorry to bother you at night. I know it's late. This guy just called me and said that they've got a trade with this other team. And he said, I would say no.
Okay.
It's probably not what they're going to do because they just signed one of those two guys on a really big contract. So they're not going to trade him now.
Okay.
And so, okay, fine. About maybe 3 months later, this same voice calls me and tells me that a football team has made this big trade. And I said, you know something? You called me once before. You were a lying bleep then, and you're a lying bleep now. And then we were done.
Wow.
You didn't suffer those fools when they would call in the middle of the night. Because if you gave them an inch, they would keep calling.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I still get direct messages, not emails, but direct messages on social media from people who consider themselves reporters, and they work for nobody. They don't work for any media in town, but apparently they used to do this kind of stuff.
They used to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
What kind of stuff?
Have their ears to the grindstone. They're, you know, they get and catching a word. Hey, you might want to check. I go, yeah, thanks a lot. Have a nice day.
Yeah.
You can't with all that stuff. And I'm sure the phone call you got, Christopher, was not the only one. You probably got, one a week, two a week, maybe. It's not crazy because you never know. There may be that one phone call You know, how many times, who was the TV reporter that people who were on the run?
Russ Ewing.
Yes.
How many decades, Cody, have I tried to become our generation's Russ Ewing?
All the decades.
Every time. Well, you guys have both been on with me when there's been an escape. And I always try to urge those people to turn themselves into me. So far, none have.
But you never know when you might get that one phone call and it turns into something like that.
Yeah.
So you still got to be on your toes, but you got to go in with a level of discernment. Call so and so, you know, who's got a column and can put it in the newspaper. Mm-hmm. You've got to really walk a fine line, and it's really, really difficult when you're all alone in that newsroom.
You know, years ago, I was at WCFL, which is now that ESPN station.
Okay.
And Howie
Super
Roberts.
Super CFL?
Super CFL, but it wasn't super when I got there.
Okay.
it was owned by the Mutual Broadcasting System, which was owned at that time by Amway.
Oh, geez.
And it was... Mm-hmm.
You feeling very young now, Cody?
Yeah.
All right.
It was awful. But Howie Roberts was there, and Howie had been there for decades, and a great old man. And he was in the newsroom when the phone rang, and he answered it, and some guy who was really out of breath was talking about somebody set fire to this apartment building, and this is really bad. And he asked a few more questions to make sure it sounded really, really legit. And so he says, okay, and he had recorded the phone call.
Yeah.
And so he used parts of it in stories. And it was amazingly good because there was a fire there,
and it was
really tough. But what he found out later is that the guy who was telling him all these awful things that were happening were true because he's the guy who set the fire.
Oh, boy.
That's perfect first-hand information, though. That's a credible source. I'm the guy. My hands smell like gasoline. I said, all right, well, we'll believe what you have to say.
Wow.
Christopher, did you ever have trouble living down the description of an angel that walks among us? Because for the people who listen to the overnight show, Christopher was, and I forget how it even came up, but he was an angel that walks among us. And Cody had music that he would play.
How did that come up?
I don't remember.
I have no idea.
I don't remember either, but somehow it came up, and then it became a thing. It was, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It was Christopher's
Maybe I just did something nice for somebody.
Perhaps.
Have no idea.
Yeah. You were always doing nice things, so maybe that was it. But did you carry that out now?
No one has noticed that since.
That's a shame.
Shocking.
He's hung up his halo.
That's too bad.
And his
That's
wings.
Too bad.
Very disappointing.
Because it was a big thing.
I was at least hoping to work it up into a free meal somewhere. But
somewhere. Nobody, nothing? The church hasn't contacted you? Or there's no talk of canonization? Nothing?
No. Hmm. Well, you know.
Shocking.
What are you going to do?
I will say, if you had a dollar for every time I quote you on social media, you would have a load of money, Christopher. So I remember the day when I was standing in Brian's office getting ready for the show, and he hadn't. Somehow I got there before him, which never still happens. Doesn't happen. And you came down, and I asked you how to get good on the radio. And you said, sit down in front of a microphone and talk for 30 minutes. Now comes the hard part. Listen back to it.
Yeah.
And now I'm in a lot of podcast groups online. I go on Reddit. I'm on these chat things. And now that everyone's podcasting, I mean, you know, Apple's latest numbers are there are more than 500,000 podcasts out there. Literally more than 500,000 people.
That's too many.
We talked earlier about how anybody feels like they can sit in front of a mic and talk and be interesting. Well, they're doing it. And let me tell you, a lot of them aren't interesting. But every time, seriously, it's really true, Christopher, every time I see somebody ask, hey, how do I get better? Where's a good place to start? I quote you every single time. I say an award-winning veteran newscaster once told me this, and I always give them that quote, and I don't think enough people are taking your advice, quite frankly.
Thank you so much, man. That means a lot to me.
Yeah, no, that has always stuck with me, and I don't know if I've gotten that much better, but I remember where I was standing when you told me that, and that's always like, that's really been a good piece of advice to go by.
You know, there are a lot of people who work in this business, mostly in the management side, who maybe did some radio at one point in time, but don't anymore. That's one of the reasons I'm not at WLS anymore, because I kept being told, just the facts in the newscast, just the facts, just the facts. And I said, look, if I don't do the stories the way I'm doing them now, people aren't going to have any idea what I'm talking about and won't care.
Right.
And when they're listening to the radio, when I start the news, I don't want them to say, ah, and hit the button, mm-hmm. and then come back later when right. Rush comes on or
maybe
whoever's
not
coming
come back.
On. Or not come not back, come back which is a much better chance
right.
that
mm-hmm.
they won't come back. So if I have a story where something's happened, and I start the story saying by, wow, this is something.
Yeah.
People are going to say, ooh, what?
Right.
And they're going to want to listen. And it better be something, too. You have to put something
right,
in
you got to back it up.
So.
Right.
But if you do that, not every story, but frequently, people are going to stay, and they're going to understand what you just did is to tell them something that they really actually wanted to hear and didn't even know it.
Right.
Right. And you were always known for your kicker stories. I mean, a yeah. lot of news people do a kicker story, but yours, you had elevated that kicker story thing to an art form. So that's got to be, some places appreciate that and some people appreciate that, and not, but not everybody, unfortunately.
Yeah, the last story I did at Rivet when I was over there for a while had to do with a young man who apparently had painted on the side of one of the big climbing mountains out in Utah where all the climbers go, in big letters, it said, Destiny, prom, question mark? And the climbers were all going nuts
oh, sure.
over that. Well, it turns out the federal government wasn't happy either because it was in a federal park,
ooh.
And they were trying to figure out who did it.
And who Destiny was. And whether she accepted.
And why, yeah, were they going to
and
prom?
And that was my punchline at the end of the story. I said, and they hadn't found him yet. And I said, oh, they will find him. And when they do, he will have his date with Destiny, just not the one he thought.
Oh! Very nice.
You know what I was always impressed with, and you told me this, and we did a lot more kickers back then than we do now because our sources just really aren't there anymore. Plus, as Cody mentioned, 500,000 people are using them, and very poorly.
Yeah.
But you worked with Paul Harvey.
I did.
And ooh. And. Oh, you did not know that?
I did not know that.
He worked with Paul Harvey, and okay. the style of your kickers was akin to the style of Paul Harvey's delivery and, mm-hmm. and the writing that he did. Explain a little bit how all that came about.
Well, it came about because of something really stupid.
Just like most of the things
here. The best stories.
Yeah, the best stories are from something yeah. stupid.
I was home listening to, I think I had Rush on the air, and it was just in the place where Bush the Second was ready for a re-election.
Okay.
And John Belmont was doing the news on the ABC News Network. And so the newscast comes on, and he did a story that I thought was, whoa, really way out of line on being against Bush. And
okay.
I thought, you know, you don't have to say it that way. You could say this in a way that will be newsy instead of an opinion.
Okay.
So for some reason, I got really gutsy, and I called ABC Radio News.
Wow.
And the call was picked up in the newsroom.
Oh.
And it was an intern for John Belmont. And I said, you know, I had a real problem with this story that you just ran. And I told her what I thought the problem was. And she said, well, do you want to talk to John? And I said, no, I don't need to talk to him. Just,
right, just
you know,
tell
him
he's
that.
A jerk.
And so in the background, I hear Belmont say, what is he, a chicken bleep? Let me talk to him.
Ooh.
So I did. And I told him what's going on, and he said, okay, let me take a look at what I wrote here. And he got it out, and he read it out loud, and he said, oh, I see what you're talking about. Okay, I never thought of it that way, but
okay.
That's all I wanted.
Wow.
So we hung up the phone. Within 2 minutes, my phone rang again,
uh-oh.
And it was Chris Berry, who was the president of ABC Radio News, who had worked at WBBM here in Chicago.
Okay. From Chicago.
And
yeah.
we had known each other for a long time. And the first thing he said was, I hear you're harassing my news anchors. And I said, well, when they deserve it, I damn well am. And he said, well, you know, it's a good thing you called, because right now the union that works with Paul Harvey is on strike.
Okay.
And the guy who, he has one union guy.
But that guy is on strike.
He's on strike, and he was doing, he was the editor for Paul. And so he said, I got a guy from New York in there, and it's costing me an arm and a leg, because I have to pay him double overtime for every day, plus other money, because he's not staying at home.
Right.
He said, you want to do it? I said, psh. Who doesn't?
Yeah, you know? How about it?
I was still working it here, and I was working here just on the weekends mostly, so I had plenty of time to do it. And so I said, sure.
Nice.
And he said, well, this is Friday. Why don't you go in on Monday? I said, okay.
All right, see you then.
Wait, so, wait, it took him 2 seconds to say, let me check my schedule.
Hold on.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I go in there. And it's the weirdest sort of operation, because you walk in there, Paul is standing in the room, and Paul is like 6 feet six, you know, really big guy. And then the guy from New York, who I had met before somewhere, was sitting at the desk.
Okay.
And then the other guy sitting in the room was the guy who was on strike.
What?
Because he kept his picket sign in the closet there. He was in such... He wasn't striking. It was the union that was striking.
Oh.
And he loved to work there. So he would sit there, and then about 8 o'clock, he'd say, well, time for me to go to work. He'd go get his sign, go down there. And it was cold out. So when it got cold, he came back up and said, oh, man, is it cold out? Let me get some coffee. And, but it was really truly an amazing thing.
Oh, jeez!
The strike went on for like 4 or 5 months before he came back, and it was fortunate because he came back just at about the time that I was really getting exhausted, because you had to be there at like 4:30 in the morning.
Oh, jeez!
Paul would start writing as soon as you came in, because he would go to the Reuters wire and the AP wire.
Okay.
And it came on an old teletype printer.
Right.
And in no place did that paper just fall out as one sheet, you know.
Okay.
It's a whole thing.
Right.
And he would roll it all up and go back to his desk.
Geez.
And he'd go through and start picking out stories. His show didn't come on. A five-minute show didn't come on until 7:35.
3 hours to prep for a five-minute show.
That.
Yeah.
Sound familiar, Cody?
A little bit.
So it was just a wonderful way to, to work.
Yeah.
If something... if he was already to work before I got in, and he usually was, I would just yell down the aisle, "Morning, PH!" And he would yell, "Good morning, American."
That is very cool. That's excellent.
And so if you think back to some of his kickers, and if you remember how Paul Harvey would always have a kicker at the end.
Sure.
They, honest to goodness, you could exchange the voices, and the kickers were the same. It sounded the same. And I was always impressed with that, because I love Paul Harvey's style.
Yeah.
I loved the way he wrote. You could listen to that and really understand what he was saying and not tune it out. In other words, you would not. He would make it so you didn't want to tune
out.
You know what I'm saying? He made you want to listen to what he was saying. No matter what point of view he had, you wanted to listen to it.
Yeah.
And it's very... I don't see that on the landscape nowadays, to be honest.
You don't see that anywhere.
And you don't hear the kickers. I loved the kicker stories. It was always a fun, upbeat way to... It could be the most depressing newscast. And a lot of times, that's what the newscasts are.
Sure,
it's filled with nothing but horror and bad news. But then at least the kicker story, there was always... All right, it cleansed your palate to move back into everything else. It was a great addition to the newscast that unfortunately they don't, you don't get that time anymore. Nobody wants to. Everything's got to be super serious.
And AP has cut back on it. They're very few of those lighthearted kickers anymore on the newswire. So it's difficult to find those around, and you have to go to social media.
And then if you're doing it like you said,
right,
you know, those are the same places that we're looking for goofy stories.
Yeah.
Because there were a couple times where you'd do a story, and I would say, oh, we were just going to do that story. Because we were all looking at the same.
I remember
yeah,
that.
We were looking at the same thing. And so I was like, oh, we're going to go to this next. And then Christopher would do it as. But then it was like, oh, great minds. And so we would go off on that tangent.
Yeah.
But yeah, I always loved that part of your newscast.
Well, thank you
always
so much.
Did.
I appreciate it.
And it's one of the things, you know, when I think back to starting here and the overnight shows and stuff, those are the kind of things that I remember. And I still last week I used remember the first year we were together for Christmas. I gave everybody those the blankets with our name.
I still use that.
I used it the other day, and I was like, oh, it had myself, Laura, Christopher, and Christy, our names embroidered on these blankets.
Nice.
After you came, I didn't get gifts.
Yeah, well, yeah. Hey, I still don't get the two cast calendars. So,
well,
am I allowed to say that? Whatever.
We love them.
Yeah, we do.
I get the calendars.
Yeah, everyone here gets the calendars.
Well, listen.
10 years, never gotten a calendar. It's
what
fine.
Do you need a calendar for?
Well, you're a millennial.
You don't look at a calendar. It's on your phone.
I'm a millennial.
I know a guy. You know what I'm saying? We'll work it out for next
wow,
year.
Wow, that is going to get us in a lot of trouble.
Why? But, no, it's fine. I'll cut this whole part out.
Yeah, we're going
to
cut out the last 40 minutes. So, we're going to go through and find Roger Tickett. Very offensive.
You
very offensive, Roger.
It's heartwarming to hear all of this praise and awards and recognition that Christopher has rightly deserved over
yes.
the years.
Well, thank you so much, man.
And then you come to me.
You got what you deserved.
You get that right.
You get what you deserve. You get what you deserve every week.
And that's this is why we work so well together, because I just left
deserve.
It open for you.
That's it.
But but all I get is an old man, and we don't even do that anymore.
Listen.
I know.
We were talking about.
Oh, look at the look from Cody. What were you looking at that like that for?
I don't know what look. I never know what look I'm giving. Brian looks at me like once a show and is like, why are you looking at me like that? And I'm like, I don't know what my face is doing at this moment.
It's RIF.
What is RIF?
Well, the middle word is idiot.
I still haven't worked
don't
it
think
out.
About it.
Okay.
I'll write it down and slip it to you across the table.
All right.
With your next. Well, listen, you know on Sunday we are.
Rushed. You're tight.
I have a 45-minute show today. I don't have a lot of time for big segments. When we were on in the evenings, we'll bring back old man music trivia. That was Roger angling for his bit to come back.
Well, you've never. No, I wasn't. You haven't. No. You stopped messaging us about it.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. I put it on Facebook every.
I stopped blocking
on
really, Facebook.
I don't really look at Facebook a lot. You used to send me an email, and you would say, hey, here's what we're playing.
That's
on.
After he told me. I would get an email Brian saying, hey, let's do the old man segment. Oh, okay, let me find something.
I'm just saying I'm further down.
This is why we never had show meetings and why we really should never have show meetings.
You know, sometimes you just can't have good things.
No, you just can't. There's a lot of, all of a sudden, the pent-up aggression, I feel it bubbling to the surface. I think somebody's not getting enough attention, even though we talk to him every week for a half
you
hour before
turned,
his first newscast, he comes into the studio. So it's not like we've shut him down and said, listen, Roger, we can't talk anymore. He gets free reign. But now, Cody, he wants his jingle. He wants his thing.
We don't do any of my segments anymore. We don't. I used to intro the, the weekend, that crazy weekend.
There, Roger, you happy?
That's the old man, yes.
There's your theme
do
song.
Do your voice. Do your voice.
This week in old man music history, right, brought to you by nobody, because who would pay for this piece of garbage? It's Roger Banish. There, you happy? There, you got it. Now you're back.
I'm good for a year.
Now you're good for a year.
So I did reset the board before we came in here, but did that just air?
Did it air?
I don't know. You tell me.
Well, no.
I hope not.
Well, if
over the baseball game?
If that aired, then the last hour that we've been talking has been over White Sox
wouldn't
baseball.
That be a baseball game?
And
that's a game I'd listen to.
And wouldn't it be funny that we've been talking over baseball and no one called the complaint? Nobody. I think they were running a preseason baseball game, but boy, Ed and DJ sounded weird. It was like there were four of them.
I like the guests that they had in the broadcast booth.
I realized after about an hour there was not one call of a ball or a strike. It was very, very strange.
Very strange.
Yeah, why would that go over the air but nothing else?
Look, I don't know how technology works.
I understand that, but that's okay.
He does a curiosity podcast. He doesn't do a technical podcast.
That's
right. There's no chance of his curiosity podcast going out on the air.
Okay.
Recording it. I mean, when you're recording it. I'm not saying. Listen, you're probably going to be doing mornings here soon. Who knows? Who knows what goes on anymore?
With the way things are going, it's just pull a straw. Whoever gets the short one gets the host. Long.
One short straw.
Yeah, I'm not clear on that exactly. You know, not sure.
So, Christopher, since you are, what is the state of radio as you've traversed it for decades? You've come back here. You're, as they say, on the beach. Would that be fair? Is that
I'm only partially on the beach. I'd love to be off the beach.
Yeah,
and
you should
and
be. There's
working some more.
You should be on doing news somewhere. There's absolutely no reason you shouldn't.
Two or three people who've said, oh, sure, we'd love to have you. We'd love to have you. We just don't have any money right now or whatever. And I think that's just a nice way of saying no.
Won't you work for free? You don't want to just work for free?
Well, I practically did here.
Yeah, it's radio. Exactly. Everybody's working for nothing.
But
we work because of the love of the business.
You know, that actually is true.
Yes.
Because
Cody and I are the,
No, seriously, explain it your way.
Well, I tell college students when they come walking through the different places I've been, is I tell them, how many of you really, really, really love radio? Raise your hand. And about half of them would. Yeah. And I would say, the rest of you, get out.
Yes, don't clog things
because
up for everybody else.
This is the most aggravating, heartbreaking, pain in the bleep business that you can ever get into that you can't wait to get back to tomorrow.
That's right.
And if you don't have that, get out, because radio will kill you.
Yeah.
And not only that, but I think that with all of these now podcasters and syndicated shows and the internet and everything, and you can stick a microphone in front of anyone and somebody's got something to say.
But, do they?
But you don't want to listen if you can't feel their heart in it.
That's right.
Because it's radio, not because it's them. There's a big difference. If you listen to somebody on the air, on radio, terrestrial radio, it's because you have that connection, and the connection is there because that person loves radio. And you said, wouldn't you do this for nothing? That love can be translated to, I would still be doing this if they didn't pay me because I feel so strongly about this medium.
Really?
That's how I've always felt about it. That's what I tried to teach my students. 20 years of teaching radio and TV in high school, where pretty much kids still don't know what they want to do for the rest of their lives.
Right.
They all think they want to be hip-hop artists, or they all want to be pro sports stars, because they're always saying, yeah, I'm going to be number one. I'm going to be number one at this or that or everything. And and you have to sit down and talk to them. And I'll relate something that was told to me by my professor, the assistant director of the department at SIU Carbondale, the week before I started school. And I went down there with my dad, and they asked me, well, what do you want to do? We know you want to go into broadcasting. My brother had been in the school down there, and he could run rings around me in broadcasting, just his knowledge, his conversationalism on the air and stuff. But I love the medium of radio. And I says, oh, I want to be an announcer. I want to be a DJ. I'm into music. And he says, announcers are a dime a dozen. Everybody wants to do it. But if you don't love it, then no one's going to listen to you.
Absolutely.
I think that's true. And it also, I mean, and it's hard for that because now this place is probably the exception to the rule. There's not a lot of personality anymore. That, when I started, it was like the people I grew up listening to, and there were strong personalities, and you knew those people, and you felt a connection to them. And that's the radio I grew up with, and that's the kind of show we've always tried to do, where people feel that they know me, whether they like me or not.
Right.
At least they it's genuine. Yeah. They know.
Yeah.
And where the business has fallen apart is once someone decided they were going to build something called voice tracking.
Yes. Mm.
And put that on the radio, why, I could pay this guy for 1 hour and he'll do a four-hour show.
Mm-hmm.
And sure, he does a four-hour show, but the four-hour show consists of song titles and maybe something else, but it's baloney.
Right.
And when you're listening to the radio, I hope that the people who are hearing this understand what I'm trying to say, because it may sound stupid, but you hear whether or not that person is live.
Right.
And if you're listening to radio and it's dull and boring, but they're playing music, but it's still dull and boring, mm-hmm. it's dull and boring because they're pre-recorded.
Yeah.
And they're pre-recorded and they can never get out of what that is. So you sit there and talk into the microphone and just say, you know, whatever, and it goes on the radio and it sounded like whatever. Whereas if you have an actual host who's playing the records and talking in between, one, you have the possibility you could make a mistake,
right.
which is funny. Everybody loves it when they make a mistake, but management hates it because it's not perfect. Of course,
it's
professional. Not supposed to be perfect. It's supposed to be human.
Yeah, that's gone.
And that's what you need. And with that being gone, that's why you see radio going down. It's not huge amounts, but it's going down by 1%, 2%.
Its share
every
of the
year.
Pie is going down.
Yes.
But its share of the pie is still huge mm-hmm. compared to everything
yeah.
else.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you and I, Christopher, we share another thing. Not only did we love growing up with Art Roberts, listening to him on the radio back when LS and CFL were the rock and roll stations in town and doing battle. But you and I both worked with him. I worked with him at Q101 and when we were still at the Merchandise Mart. And there was a huge change. You listened to Art Roberts.
That's right.
When he was doing his rock and roll shows, you listened. He pulled you in. You were part of the family.
Yeah.
They had time to play on the air. When he got to Q101... he announced the records.
Yep.
There was no, here's this song, we'll be back after this commercial, here's the news, here's this song. It wasn't the same.
No.
He was just a voice, and that's what killed a lot of AM radio.
Well, look back, I mean, you look at Surratt and Landecker and Lujack and all those guys who were at LS. Landecker was the nighttime disc jockey. And yet he had these bits and stuff that people remember to this day, Boogie Check and stuff,
right.
because he was a person. He wasn't just a voice saying, here's Cream.
You know, right.
There was a guy there, and you could call the station and talk to him, and you'd hear it. It's all, you know.
It's all corporate now,
yeah.
like you mentioned. For the most part,
that's why this place is such a standalone. It's so strange. You get them in different markets. There's, you know, Milwaukee had it for a while at TMJ, mm-hmm. CCO in Minneapolis. There's different stations that still have that where it's local all the time. And
but it's fewer and farther between.
And that's a shame.
Yeah.
You know, I the place I just left, I think, has killed its possibilities of getting better.
Yeah.
Unless they get more local, and they're not gonna.
No, they've gotten, except for the morning, they've gotten, I don't think they're local at, well,
they got 2 hours.
They've got a 2 hour at night, but how long is that gonna last? As soon as they can find something to plug in that's cheaper.
Yeah.
You know, and unfortunately, or that guy's contract is up.
And that's a total corporate decision
mm-hmm.
that was made, and it's a bad decision. Even though it makes money for the corporation because the corporation owns the shows right. that are being sent everywhere, so they charge more money for the commercials that go on stations all over. But you've got a station with less than 2% of the audience now.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's I don't think the savior that they think is going to save them is going to do it. The morning is not going to save that place.
No, because you need – first off, you need more than the morning.
Right.
Because people – listen to the radio sometimes when they go to bed at night. Yep. They have the radio mm-hmm. on. When it wakes up and when it comes on in the morning, it doesn't have that station on it.
Right.
Because they changed the station from whoever else was blathering on.
That was the biggest thing I learned starting in overnights. Because the overnight is it's overlooked by sales a lot of times and management. Mm-hmm. And back in the day, it was the training ground in smaller stations.
Right.
Now those markets don't even have overnight places for people to train.
No.
But what I learned quickly was there was a loyal audience. Yeah, it may not be as big as the afternoon audience, but there was an audience that was looking, like you say, Christopher, looking for something live, looking for something right. where they could make a connection. You know, did they always like it? Absolutely not. But they knew we were here, and they knew if something happened, we had the news.
Mm-hmm.
They knew, as angry as they would get, that we would report the serious weather, even though we would mock it endlessly. But we would; they could find it here.
Sure.
And it was something to help them get through the night. And then as the word spread or whatever, then we found out, yeah, it's not just the people you would think it is. It's not just insomniacs
right.
or older people. There were third shifters
exactly.
and truck drivers and bands. That's why we liked having the bands always loved coming in, because they're like, yeah, we're up. We're coming home from a gig. We'll come in at 3 in the morning and sit around.
And I'll tell you who else would be. New parents.
Yes.
Oh, they're
gosh,
up
yeah.
all
oh, yeah.
night long with yeah, the yeah. kids, and yeah. they're playing. They want to know what's going on in the overnight to help them deal with what they've got to deal with.
And they also don't need to hear the same 6 stories over and over,
no.
and they don't need to hear somebody piped in from wherever who has no connection to them. Maybe they want to hear somebody who's going through the same stuff they're going
exactly.
through and make that connection. And
yeah.
it's important.
Yeah.
You've been very quiet. You've been uncharacteristically quiet.
I'm absorbing a lot of this. I mean, my head's going to lots of different places. You know, the way that money is being spent in these areas. Like, so I'm deep into podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think podcasting is necessarily always inferior to radio. I do think the talent is almost always inferior to radio talent, if not completely. Because when people on these podcast websites, they say like, oh, what's a good podcast I should listen to know how to get better? And I'm like, dude, I spent 4
listen
months interning
radio.
For Spike Odell, and I spent 10 years with Brian Noonan. Listen to these guys. And it was actually funny to your point earlier about time, right? So mm-hmm. if you're only announcing the records, that's one bad thing. But part of the problem with podcasts is the long form. It claims mm-hmm. to be, you know, a really nice, beneficial, oh, you get all the time you want. And like, that has its place. There's something to be said for a Joe Rogan podcast where he talks for 3 hours straight to somebody.
Right.
You really get to know that
but
person.
But he's talking to somebody.
He's talking right. to somebody, but yeah. he's also a good talker. And so
right.
is
and
you,
a good interview.
And
yeah.
he's a good interview,
yeah.
right? The problem is that people don't know how to tell a story in less than 25 minutes. You know, when you've got a clock to watch,
right.
Brian
exactly.
has to tell a hilarious story and get to the point and keep just the details he needs to keep and get it out there in 10 minutes. Not spend 2 hours... Well, then we walked by the tree, and then it was green, and that was kind of it's just bad. So there's
yeah.
it's
well,
funny
there's
seeing,
also a time. I mean, we were in the overnights. We had time to do that. We could meander for a while because it was like,
yeah.
oh, we've got in this hour, we've got to fill 50 minutes of content.
You could, but you never did,
yeah.
and you still watch the clock. And
yeah.
It's,
oh yeah,
it's
you
funny.
You still have to take the breaks,
right.
get to the news on time,
right?
Make sure
go
and,
to the bathroom.
You know what I love, and I know there's other people on the station who do it, but I don't work with them on a regular basis. But
by choice?
Well, yeah,
say
actually,
it,
by
ahead,
choice.
By choice, you don't.
By
work.
Choice, because I'm busy during the day and week.
Wow,
but. And Cody, you mentioned how he can weave a story into the 10 minutes, but even more so is he'll run it right up to the break and then make you wait for the
yes.
conclusion, for the payoff after the break. So now he's doing what a lot of hosts are supposed to be
sweep
doing.
Sweep that quarter hour, Roger.
Yeah. There you go, baby. Keep that quarter hour.
I am uncomfortable with any sort of compliment, so please stop
that. Well, you know, one of the things about bringing people through the stop set, the commercial set, is on overnights, the one thing that every station just sort of puts away and doesn't think about it is advertising for overnight people.
Yes. Yeah. You know, nobody does it.
It shouldn't matter if they only get $10 a spot. $10 a spot is better than nothing.
$10 you didn't have.
And they're doing it everywhere because people don't want to listen to overnight. Oh, yeah, well, why do you keep the transmitter going?
Right, exactly. There's a lot of people who are listening to overnight. A lot of them.
A lot. And I'm wondering if advertising will evolve a little bit. Because think about it. We've really had the same radio ad model for 80 years. 80 or 90 years. You got the pre-recorded ad or the live read.
Yeah.
And some podcasts are kind of taking
And every clock is the same.
And every clock. Yeah. Well, sure. There's all those problems. But there are some new approaches to that where you're integrating the content more or you're sponsoring a very particular segment.
Right.
Like, let's do the Starbucks Productivity Minute sponsored by Starbucks. Here's a tip for productivity. Or whatever.
Right.
And then it's like, oh, okay, this is giving me something besides just like, oh, let's stop and tell you why you should buy this thing, you know, for 3 minutes straight.
Right.
With different ads.
And it's more value to the sponsor.
Yeah.
Because it's not just, that's why it's, and it's been proven, and I've covered this in my classes too, and I think we all understand this, an ad that is recorded and played as opposed to an ad read live by a host, which if it means more to the listener because the person that we're listening to doesn't necessarily say I use this every day like in the old days of radio, the golden age of radio, where they actually work the ads into the program, you know, like the program be going on and the doorbell would ring and it would be the announcer.
Hey, it's the Maytag repairman.
Yeah, it's a Maytag. Hey, let me. And they said, well, I've got some Jell-O for you. And that the commercial was part of the show.
Send a note to sales. I'd like to start doing that.
Why was the Maytag repairman bringing Jell-O?
No,
that's
not
the beauty of advertising.
Yes.
Oh, I get it.
It didn't matter.
And the other way, of course,
spilled it on yourself, you'd need to wash the clothes. What?
The other way to do that is to say, now page two.
Exactly. Because you know how many people would stay there for page two?
Yes.
Even though they knew it was a commercial. Why? Because Paul Harvey was doing it.
Yeah.
And you can't put a value on it, but it means so much more than having a disjointed voice that you can't make a connection to on the recording, as opposed to someone you know through radio doing that commercial, whether they are personally endorsing it or not.
All right. Unfortunately, we have to start wrapping this up.
Oh, because we have to do a radio.
Because we have. I gotta go get a newscast.
Big radio. But
I don't have anything to do.
First of all, I sincerely want to thank both of you for coming in. As I said, and this is not to get too flowery or whatever, but starting out having both of you there as part of the show made a big difference, and it made the show better. And so, thank you. In case in the years past I never said it, now I'm saying it for public consumption. People now know that I'm not being mean to Roger. He deserves everything he gets.
Never.
And Christopher, you are definitely missed here. And you know, I will always be grateful for you putting up with me and becoming part of the show. And really adding and making the overnight experience something that people are still talking about. So, so thank you for that.
Sure. Just send my number to Todd.
You know what? I showed you his office. Just go hide under his desk till Monday. He may or may not come in. We'll see. But yeah, you know, check it out. And you, Cody, thank you for you've added a lot of this. All right, any parting thoughts, gentlemen? And don't, please, no, nothing.
Well,
I'm not
fishing
for
anything. It is a joy to come in on Sundays. I love coming in. I love working with everybody who I work with
you
on
do,
the air.
You do, and that makes, I don't trust that.
Yeah, well, but.
I don't believe it, I don't trust it.
Because I say a little prayer before the show. But but I do. Honest to goodness, you have allowed me to be more than just a news reporter. You have allowed me to love what I love even better. I love radio. I love doing it. And working with you has allowed me to explore that more. You've given me that freedom, and it has made my love for radio and working on WGN even greater. And I really appreciate it. Cody also, and all of the producers who came before you, because you're right when you said at the beginning of the show, it is a team effort. Mm-hmm. It's no one person. The phone calls.
Well, it is kind of.
Yeah, well, yeah. That's why it's called the Brian Noonan Show. But the phone calls and the texts and everything you get, they comment on everybody in the show. And so I thank you for that.
Well, I think you've said pretty much everything that needs to be said.
Yeah, that's always our problem. We talk too much.
But, you know, that's okay, because you're talking with friends who are talking to our friends who are on the other end. And I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity for the career that I've had. And while I wanted to keep it going for a few more years, I probably would have wanted a few years from now to keep it going further.
Right.
But, you know, I'm available.
Yes.
But it has been a pleasure to work with such fine people. When I was at WMAQ All News, when they were doing All News, we had a great newsroom. We had a wonderful time in there. We laughed and cried together over all sorts of stories and things, but it was fun because we were good people. And when you're working with good people, you cannot help but enjoy it. When you're working with other people, you can't wait to find another place. Because it really just eats on you every day. Why can't we be happy? And it's management. So it's what keeps things going. Thanks a lot for everything you've done for me.
Oh, well, it's what you did for me. Christopher Michael, Roger Badish, Cody is running to check if the baseball game is over because we may be going live any moment. And our guests, hold on 1 second. We'll be we'll be out to get you in a minute. Our guests are out there.
That's great.
For the next show. It's all coming together as it always does on this show, where we plan it and then the best laid plans. You know, that's
just like life.
This has been a lot of fun. I am glad you both were able to come in. Is the baseball game over?
The
post game.
There's no post game in spring training. What's going on?
The baseball game is still going.
Okay.
She thinks we'll be on at 6:30.
Oh, 6:30. Our guests are here.
I'm going to go get them.
All right. Go get our guests for the live show that's going on at 6:30. So, well, now we have a couple more minutes to wrap up. All right. So
I have no final words.
No final words. Your words are done. All right. Thank you both very much.
Thank you, Brian.
We will talk to you again. Thank you all for listening to the podcast. Always, we always do appreciate that. This is the bonus that goes with the little live show that will be happening, but we always appreciate your support. You can follow us on Facebook at Brian Noonan Show, Twitter, Brian Noonan Show, and don't forget Cody's other podcast, Game Life Balance US. You can listen to that at WGNradio.com, where you can find all of these fantastic podcasts. And if you are a radio executive with a newsroom, you need to hire Christopher Michael, because you are making a huge mistake if this man just sits. He has a lot to say, and he knows how to say it, which is a lot different than some of the people. So give Christopher a job. You know, if you have an offer for Roger, that'd get him out of here. But no, we wouldn't want that. You know, I wouldn't
want
that.
Garbage collector?
You know,
sure.
No, please. No. Really? With your back? That would never work.
Yeah, that's true.
That would never work.
But the pay's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's what I hear.
And
union,
all you can eat.
And all.
So enjoy yourself. Thank you again. We will talk to you later. We got to get out of here before things devolve any further. Bye.